The following is from Little Rock Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. For more information, visit littlerockchurch.org.
I'm going to do something that I've only done maybe two times in my ministry, and I'm going to take a break from our sermon series. I wrote my sermon, my normal sermon sermon this week to finish out John, but it wasn't sitting well with me, and I don't know if that's because I know summer's coming up or because of last week we had small group Sunday. I don't know, but the message I had planned just hasn't felt good to me all week. And I think God's put something on my heart that I need to share. Normally, a couple of you will be with me throughout the week. And what I mean by that is I pick a couple people within our church body and I pray for you each week. And this week I prayed for all of you. And some of you I know better than others. I don't know all of you as well as I do some. But if you're part of our church in one way or another, I prayed for you. And it amazed me as I prayed for our people how much, and I thought about you, and how much I sense that some of you all have going on that could be discouraging. I mean, just in a church like ours, we have multiple people who aren't happy with their jobs, and that can be discouragement. We have multiple people who struggle with depression and anxiety. We have people with chronic health issues, and we're just proud of you for being here this morning. We have multiple people who need surgery or thinking about getting surgery, and I think that can be a discouragement. We have people in our congregation who have difficulties with family members. You have some family members that are hugely difficult. We know you're perfect. It's always them, but it's just the way it is. You're perfect, and they're not, and they're hard to deal with, and we understand that. We have multiple people in our congregation who finances are much tighter than they wish they were, and that can be a point of conflict. We have people in our congregation, some of you have loved ones who haven't come to Christ yet, family and friends, and it is a deep burden to your heart, the thought that they would not spend eternity with Christ. We have lots of people in our congregation who are grieving. Years after someone died, still grieving. You heard a song in the grocery store this week, and it made you think of her, made you think of him. You drove by a certain car. You thought of that cousin. And it just hit out of nowhere, and it wells up starting here, and it just goes everywhere. It's deep. It's intense. And I prayed for our situations this week, and I just want you to know this morning that you are alone, and God has not abandoned you. There's really, because I wouldn't qualify this as a sermon, technically, but because I am a preacher, I have 3 points to challenge us with. By the end, I'll probably have a poem. But my 3 points, quite simply, nothing new, but it is this: God loves you, don't give up the faith, and rescue is coming. God loves you, don't give up the faith, rescue is coming. You need to know this morning and remember, for those of you who are suffering, that God loves you immensely. He is crazy about you. He literally thinks the world about you. John 3 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son." He literally thinks the world of you. He thinks his Son of you. And if you are in Christ, this is what God says about you. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the context of that passage is how we have victory in Jesus, and that come what may, God loves us, whether through persecution, famine, sword, nakedness, and all the things that Paul lists. God loves you. Some of you are very discouraged about our political situation right now. You make discouraging comments about our president. You don't like him. You didn't like our last president. You didn't like the one before. I know without a doubt I am never becoming president because I still want you to like me. Loved ones, the New Testament, the authors, and Jesus, they are silent on their political leaders, and they had far worse leaders than we ever have or will have in this country. Most likely. Nero, oh man, what a mess. He killed his mother. He was blamed for burning Rome. Hated Christians. And Peter says, honor the emperor. Jesus said, pay your taxes. not a political thing this morning. It's just it's been worse before. And the guys in the New Testament, when they were faced with worse situations than us, they didn't start some sort of campaign. They said, honor the emperor and pay your taxes. They didn't focus on that stuff. What they focused on was God's love and loved ones. God loves you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Some of you might wonder how God can love you because of a situation you're going through. You need to know and understand this, that whatever situation you're going through, God has given himself to you through Jesus Christ, so it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You are loved. Some of you want to know the reason why you're going through the trial. We're not always given that reason. But God wants you to walk with him, to love him, to run with him, to comfort from him. Nothing can separate us from God's love. The difficult situation or the unhappy situation or the confusing situation you are in right now does not diminish nor destroy the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. See, the tendency of our human heart when we go through difficult times, it's to wonder, has God abandoned me in faith? Difficult times will always do that. It's going to ask you, will you turn from God or will you turn toward God? God has not abandoned you. He loves you. He loves you. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's not a greater love than for us to see God. He understands. He knows what it means to be disappointed. He knows what it's like to have one of his best friends turn away from him in the hour of his great need. To have everybody forsake him. He knows exactly what that's like. God knows what it's like to lose a child. God knows. He has not abandoned you. The last thing I want to do is give a theological treatise on suffering this morning and why bad things happen. I just want you to know today, June 2nd, 2019, walk away. God loves you and rest in that. He loves you when you're depressed and confused. He loves you when you have bad days. He loves you when you have good days. He loves you when you have clarity and when you have lots of questions. You need to know that God does not withhold his love for you. Floods are getting bad, aren't they? I guarantee some bad preacher is going to get up this morning and say someone's not living right because of the floods. Oh, man. Happened when Katrina happened, too. Oh, New Orleans. Loved ones, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Don't measure, don't do that. You have been loved infinitely, eternally, holy because Jesus died on a cross for you. Don't equate your momentary trials are preparing you for a crown of glory. Don't mix those two messages. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorite verses from the Old Testament. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. God's got a song. 1 Peter 5, 6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Take your concern to God this morning, Little Rock Church, because he cares for you. God loves you. Don't give up the faith. You know, I found out goals are so important in life. We'll never get what we don't aim for. And if I know the why, I can get through the what. If I have a reason, I can get through the difficulty. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, now there is a store for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So we go through the what of the difficulty with this purpose in mind. And our what would be different for each of us, but the why is the same. We don't give up the faith because God has good things in store. We don't give up the faith because for those who will persevere, the best is yet to come. I think some of you need to be reminded as we start June in the summer, loved ones, the best is yet to come. There's a crown of righteousness awaiting for those who persevere. Little Rock Church, run the race. You get rid of everything in your life that hinders you from following Jesus Christ. You throw it in the dump and you run the race. You cast your cares on Christ. You keep your eyes on Him and you run the race. You never, ever, ever, ever give up. God never gave up on you. Woman who's given birth and is an amazing, strong woman, isn't she? I've watched my wife, Deborah, give birth to 3 kids. I wept during all of them because I just wanted the pain to stop. It got so bad during Rebecca that the nurses had to start taking care of me. I just hated to see my wife in that much pain. It's awful. They brought me juice and crackers. They were very nice. I'm an expert at not being a patient and making that experience about me within a few minutes. Thank you. That is an appropriate response. I would not trade my wife's pain for our kids. I also wouldn't trade the discipline of a child for the character that that discipline can instill. And sometimes when we go through difficult situations, our judgment in life can seem cloudy and we need to be reminded that the best is yet to come. Don't give up the faith. You may not always understand it. You may not always understand God, but don't give up the faith. Whatever is wrong that's going on in your life right now, I think that what God is going to do eventually is He's going to right every wrong. I don't think any of us in the next life with God will look back on this life and say that this was pointless and meaningless. I think all of us in the next life with the crown of glory will be able to say that God is just and fair and He reconciled everything under Christ for eternity. Keep the faith. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. Keep believing in Jesus, in His sacrifice, in His work, and in His resurrection. The temptation comes to say this isn't worth it. One of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency was the Sunday morning terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, in which hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. Remember that event? Many of us can still recall the terrible scenes as the day's survivors worked to dig out their trapped brothers from beneath the rubble. A few days after that tragedy, Marine Corps Commander Paul Kelly visited some of the wounded survivors in Frankfurt, Germany, in a hospital. Among them was Corporal Jeffrey Nashton, severely wounded in the incident. He had so many tubes running in and out of his body that people said he looked more as a machine than a man, and yet he survived. And as Kelly neared him, Nashton, struggling to move and racked with pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote a brief note and passed it back to the commander. And on the slip of paper were but 2 words, Semper Fi, the Latin motto of the Marines, meaning forever faithful. And with those 2 words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who have sacrificed body and limb and their lives for their country, those who have remained faithful. As a Christian, if you have given your life to Christ, you remain forever faithful. One of the things that Jesus seems to repeat in the book of Revelation is this: to him who overcomes, I will give manna, or I will give authority over the nations. And I think what Jesus is doing in those reminders is that the best is yet to come. Be faithful, be faithful. Don't give up the faith. If it's difficult, it's okay. Jesus knows how difficult it is. He knows. But he was faithful. And if you're struggling with your faith in God this morning, let me encourage you and say again, God loves you, but don't give up the faith. And finally, rescue is coming. Do you remember the movie that came out a few years ago, Castaway? About a man who talked to a volleyball. He's nuts. Yeah, Wilson, right? That's not normal behavior. Even on an island by yourself. Maybe it is. I don't know. But when Tom Hanks' character had a plane crash and ended up on this little island of the middle of the sea, and what he wanted the most was to be rescued, and yet through the movie, he learned how to be self-sufficient. He was saved, but he was never fully saved. He always wanted to get off the island and to be rescued. And for Christians, there is a saved but not yet saved dimension to our faith. We're certainly saved and we have the blessings that God wants us to have, and yet we still live here with the problems we face, and this can be a frustration for some of us. Loved ones, rescue is coming. The first time Jesus came as a baby, the second time he is coming with a shout, with all the glory of heaven, and he is crying out, enough. Was it Mighty Mouse that had the saying, here I come to save the day? Better be careful, you'll show your age. And we are quick to notice here. When Jesus comes back, he's shouting, here I come to save you for all eternity. I'm going to rescue you from a fallen world and make it new. I can't imagine perfection. Maybe you struggle with the idea of eternity too. But I do know Jesus is coming back to rescue us. Rescue is coming. When I was a little kid, believe it or not, I was kind of scrawny. This is where you can gasp. Like, so I'll say it again and then you all can gasp. When I was a little kid, I believe it or not, I was a little scrawny. Perfect. We're on a church canoe trip. And for this trip, we stayed at this campground in tents. And in front of the campground was this creek that had a very strong current. And at that age, it was about belly button high, enough to swim in. And we were playing in it, and the current took me. It took me. I was washed down. Kept going down the creek. And I don't know. It was probably shorter than what I remember, but maybe 40 yards. This is a pretty big creek. I grabbed off into some bushes. And I started yelling out, Dad! 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 My father's 6'6", and he's not scrawny. And here he comes, walking down. I have very vivid memories of he picks me up and he carries me like this and carries me back to safety. Some of us this morning, we need to go to our Heavenly Father and Father, 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 in Little Rock Church, you need to remember this morning that no matter what is going on, God loves you. Don't give up the faith. Rescue is coming. The best days are ahead, and God loves you so much. So what's the application? I think it's this, rest in Him. Some of you are so anxious and tightly wound that you need to rest. See, when we get kind of tightly around things that we can't control, it can become a bad reflection on our trust in God. And some of you need to take a nap. Not right now. We're not done yet. But some of you, sir, you need to take a nap. You need to breathe. God loves you. God loves you. And there is nothing in your life right now, and there's nothing that you've done that will surpass, overcome, or overwhelm the love of God that He has for us in Jesus Christ. So everybody breathe. Everybody rest. Everybody cast your anxieties on the Lord. He is faithful and true. He's never lied to me and He will not lie to you. He will never disappoint you. God can do anything. He can do anything. But He has promised and He has limited Himself to His promise to forgive all who come to Him in humility and sincerity. And maybe there's something that you've got going on in your life right now that you feel is too overwhelming. I can't share. I can't tell. If people knew, if God knew, it would be too much. God has limited Himself to His promise that He will forgive all who come to Him. He has never broken that promise. And I don't think He'll start today. God loves you. Do not give up your faith, and rescue is coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to trust You. Help us to know You. There's nothing more privileging, there's no greater privilege than to know Jesus Christ. Lord, when we get discouraged, help us to remember these not deep, hard to understand things. These are simple, basic 101 Christian reminders. You love us. We should persevere, and Christ is returning. Lord, help us to take our eyes off of ourselves for just a few moments and to focus on Christ. And help all those things that we get anxious about that we can't control, Lord, help us to rest as a congregation so that we would be moved to serve you in fruitfulness and faithfulness. Thank you for your love in Christ. For all this in Jesus' most precious name, amen. Matthew 26:26 says this, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. This is what Jesus, he's giving, the Passover meal. This is the Passover is a Jewish festival that the people, Jewish people had every year to memorialize their time way back in the Old Testament when they were freed from Egypt. And they had a Passover lamb, and they had certain food that they ate, and they had a cup, they had wine that they had to drink. And Jesus, this is what he's doing. So he broke the bread, he gave a blessing, he gave it to the disciples. He says, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drank it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, you'll all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I'll never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to deny with you or die with you, I will not deny you. What a liar. All the disciples said the same thing too. Jesus gave us this meal. And then he said, listen, everybody's going to fall away from me. And then a few days later, after everything had calmed down, Jesus finds the disciples on the beach. He feeds them some food. And what do we find Jesus doing? Not condemning. Not saying, guys, do you know how bad you failed me this time? I can't believe what you did, Peter. Don't do any of that. He just called Peter and the disciples gently back to himself. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus is doing the same thing with this meal this morning. He's calling us back to himself through our doubt and despair. Do you love me? Do you love me? If you do, then take this bread and eat it and remember the sacrifice of Jesus. If you do, take this cup which was poured out in honor of this new covenant of love that Christ gave us. Let me pray and then the ushers will come. My Father, it is a tall order to take this meal, to remember what Jesus did for us, to remember the meta-narrative of God's people, of your people, from the Exodus, which is this picture of our spiritual slavery to where Christ has set us free. We are free indeed. That there is nothing beyond you. There's no sin too great. We're not just broken, Lord. We are sinful. We have committed acts and atrocities against you. We've not loved like we should have. We've been unkind to people. We've had thoughts that we didn't need to think. We've seen things that we shouldn't have seen. But we know that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. Help us to not despair and to remain faithful to the cross, to the sacrifice of Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Rock Church is always a privilege because of the sacrifice of Jesus and what he has done. You are free, you are found, and you are forgiven. God bless you all as you take communion.